We started the Mishnah at the bottom of Memchet Amud Bet. Shor she'ya mitkaven lechavero v'kat isha v'yatsu yiladeh ha'patur mitkaven le'adot. The shor is intending to go after another shor, and instead he bumps into a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. Then the bala shor is not responsible for the dmei v'ladot, for the miscarriage. But Adam, on the other hand, Adam she'ya mitkaven lechavero v'kat isha, that he was intending for his, you know, they were fighting, two men were fighting, intending to get his friend, and instead, because he ends up hitting the woman, she miscarries, and shalem demeivot. In that instance, he will be responsible for paying for the miscarriage. How do you assess the value of demeivot? So, shaminet aisha, kami yafa ach lo yalda, how much is she worth when in a state of pregnancy? And then how much is she worth after the miscarriage, after she's given birth, or after a miscarriage, what is the worth? So the differential in value will be the value or the added value of those demei vlados. Amar Shiba Megamliel, Imkei Mishaisha Yoledet Mishabechet, Ela Shaminet HaVlados, Kamehen Yafin, Noten Laba. Shiba Megamliel says, what are you talking about? The woman's value goes up after she gives birth. If you do that, it's going to end up, there's going to be no payment, because she's worth more after she gives birth than when she's worth before she gives birth. We'll discuss in the Gemara why, or what Shimon Gamliel's thesis is here. So therefore, you have to independently assess the value of the vladot in order to determine the value or the destroyed value that was done by the mazik. Noten abal b'him ein la bal, she doesn't have a husband, noten li yoshav, then the demei vladot go to his inheritors. So this we had seen before in the Gemara, that the Mei Vladot belong to the Baal. And since the Mei Vladot belong to the Baal, when the Baal passes away, then they pass on to his Yorshim, not to the wife, because they belong to the Tzad of the Baal. Also by Shifcha, V'nishtachra, Gioret, over there we're talking about an instance where they married a Ger, or married an Eved, Shinishtachrer, because we're talking about individuals who have no Yorshim. And since they have no Yorshim, right, then what's the din of the possessions of a ger, or someone, again, Shibchash Nishtachara, their possessions are Hefker, and therefore the Mazik is the first one to be Tofes, or to be Machzik in the possession, and he gets to keep that which he owes them, because they are, right, they have no Yorshim.
But the ger is alive in this case.
No, not necessarily. So that's what the Rashi points out over here. You could just see it quickly. Rashi says, if you look from the top line of the Gemara, just across the Rashi, V'hai denoka, hai lishna. Why does this Gemara use this lashon? Hai ta shivcha v'nishtachara, avalonakat, hai ta mishuchreret. Right? Why does it say v'nishtachara, like she was just freed, versus mishuchreret, which means any shivcha was mishuchreret, then it's the same status. Why does it have to be immediately? V'shum, d'alkorchok v'im shela bani, emenu kamar. That's the case where she has no children. Because if she has children, then they do have Yorshim. Once they are freed, right, and you have a ger, a gioret, a nishtachra, right, you have a full-fledged Jew that's born to them after the time that they have, quote-unquote, converted, then they're part of the family, and they're your sheep. Behind the kamar, itash shivcha, and nishtachra. Then the shmashma, the atami karov, adayin lo yula behem banim. This is fresh. This is a fresh conversion, and they haven't any other children yet. That's why there aren't no yoshrim here. V'hu adin nami l'Israeli, ha'nesu'a l'ger u'meita ger d'patur. Again, that the real issue here is the same thing for an Israeli who's married to a ger, and the ger dies, that he's also patur here. Admei v'ladot l'ba'al. Because who does the mei v'ladot belong to? They belong to the ba'al. So if there is no ba'al, and there are no yorshim to the ba'al, that's what's important over here. Right? It's not necessarily what the status of the woman is. The status of the woman also helps us, because then it just makes sure that there is no yorshim, or no children, right, besides that. But the real issue is the ger shemet, meaning that the husband has passed away, and because it belongs to the husband, and the husband has no yorshim within Klal Yisrael, therefore the person is machzik, or holds on to the demei vlados, because he's the first one to get that. Now, the Gemara says, Taimo, demitkaven lechavero, that it seems from the Mishnah that the problem with the shore, or why the shore is patur over here, or the Baal shore is patur, is because the shore was intending to gore another shore, and by accident he hit the woman. How do you specifically intended for the woman herself, then he would have been chayav with the There should be a problem for Rabbi Abba, because we said before, right, in the Gemara, seven days ago, the Amar Rabbi Abba, Shvarim, Shnitkavnu Isha, Puturim, Mimei Vladot. That the Shvarim that intend for the woman are Puter Mimei Vladot. So Amar for Rabbi Abba, what's in? Dafil Nitkavnu Isha, Nami Puturim Mimei Vladot. No. The din is like me, that when a shur, even when he intends for the woman, he's Puter from wait, so then why does the mission not say the larger chiddush? The larger chiddush was to say that even if he intends specifically the isha, it would be poter mitzvah do. Well, I wrote that because the idea to commit the seifa, the seifa of the mission has to be the case, adam sheyem mitkaven lechavero. Right, that the seifa of the mission has to describe a case where a man is intending for his friend, and then by accident hits the woman, right, because the hachitziv krah. Because that's what the pasuk is. Ki enosushne hashim, right? Two men are fighting, and then they pogav ishara. They end up hitting a pregnant woman. So the second half of the mishnah has to describe the case in this manner, because that's the pasuk. That's what the pasuk has. Therefore, in the resha, when it came to say the shore, it used a parallel structure and gave the same case that would apply by men. But dani resha nami shore shem kavin lechaveru. But that's not that's the only din. The din would even apply when a shore does it directly or the attacks the woman directly and causes the Dmei Vladot, and the reason is because we said before that it has to be right a case where we had a Valashur Naki. The Valashur Naki says that I am Patur from the Dmei Vladot. Remember that was the lima we had by Valashur Naki. So therefore a shore is always Patur mi Dmei Vladot. Samara Papa, this is very interesting. Shor Shnagata Shivcha. Shore the gourd is Shivcha, yet Uyula Deha. And she miscarried, Mishalem Dmei Vladot. So there's an exception to the rule. We just said Rav Adarav establishes a rule that if a shor, even if he directly attacks a woman, right, the Dmei Vladot, your Patur, Galashur Naki. Over here we have what? Shush Nagaka Tashivcha, and she miscarried, your Chaya for the Dmei Vladot. Why? My time up. Chamartza Me'abartza Ve'alma Huda Zik. We're talking about a pregnant donkey over here. Because, right, what's the status of a shivcha kananit we're talking about is Amakra Shvula Kampoy Machomor, right? When Avram Avinu goes up with Yitzchak to the Akedah, he leaves behind his two kananit servants, and he says, "You sit here with the chamor." Am Adomel Chamor. That there is a parallel drawn between this am and the chamor, and therefore this kananit or the shivcha kananit over here classified as a donkey and animals. Right, animals when they have a miscarriage or when there's damage done to an animal, that's nezek. We're not talking about, we don't differentiate between the dmei vladot and the animal itself. That's all nezek when it comes to a animal. So when you talk about any classification of a behemah, right, so the shivcha kananit will be in that same classification as behemah, not in the classification of isha. Therefore, right, there will be a chumrah by a shivcha kananit because of her classification that she would pay for dmei vladot versus an isha was exempted because of Bala Shur Naki when it comes to hitting a human being and having the Dmei Vladot miscarry. Alright, case of Mishlein Dmei Vladot. Dmei Vladot, Shevach Dmei Vladot mi Baile. What are we talking about Dmei Vladot? Why aren't we talking about Shevach Vladot? So now, what is the difference? Dmei Vladot is the actual value of the fetus. Shevach Vladot, and we've seen this earlier, we saw this with Behemoth also, this idea that the woman who looks bigger, has more volume to her, is worth more money. And this comes from a society that viewed largeness as a right as a positive factor, and therefore, right, the larger the woman, the more positive. So therefore, when you have a woman who's pregnant, and you could sell her in the shuk, quote unquote, then she's worth more because she's bigger. Right? That was considered to be right in the old country. That was if you didn't eat, then you weren't. You weren't big, then you were not healthy. Right? That was an indication of a lack of health to be skinny. So this is it. So the Dmei Vladot is just a Shevach Vladot mi Baile. Hakanami Kamar. Kitza Mishalem Dmei Vladot vish Shevach Vladot. How do you pay for the Dmei Vladot and the Shevach Vladot? Shemit Eisha Kamihi Yafa Ajlo Yoda. Kamihi Yafa Mishi Alda. That's exactly what you're assessing here. When you assess the woman in this manner, by saying how much is she worth currently, versus, or before she miscarried, and how much is she worth after she miscarried, right, then you're actually being mismodate, dealing with both issues. You're dealing with the value of what's contained inside of her, meaning the fetus, and you're also dealing with the fact that the woman looks larger because the assessment at that point will look at the woman at her current state. So that assessment deals with both the Mevel Ados and Shevach Ados. Now, what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagree with that? I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
It's not
Shevach
Ados,
it's the
Shevach
of the Isha.
Right.
The Shevach of the Isha is caused by...
Right. Her volume expanded by the fact that she has the fetus inside of her. Right. I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Imkei Misha Isha Yuladet Misha Bechad. So what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say? My Tamar. So two possibilities of what he's saying. I'm a Rabbi Hachi Tamar. B'chi Isha Misha Bechad Kodem Shetelet Yoter Mal Akha Shetelet. Hello, Isha Misha Bechad Akha Shetelet Yoter Mal Kodem Shetelet. Woman's worth more after she gives birth than before she's given birth. Why? So that in their day, right, we know this from the Torah, we know this from other places, that it was very dangerous. Childbirth was an extremely dangerous circumstance that a woman had to go through, an event. And therefore, when the woman was on the other side of childbirth, right, she was still alive. Versus when she was in pregnancy, she faced the sakana of actually giving birth to the children. So the woman is worth more afterwards because we know she survived childbirth. Versus beforehand, where she's at risk for childbirth. So Ella, Shemina Tablados, Natsim Laval. So that's the position of Rabbah. That's what Rishim Lilah is saying. Taninami Hawk, we have a price that supports this. Chi Shami Shabechet, Kodim Shetelet, Yoter Menacha Shetelet. Valo Yishami Shabechet, Acha Shetelet, Yoter Menacha Kodim Shetelet. Shemina Tablados, Natsim Laval. That's Rabbah's position. The woman's worth more afterwards than before because she has passed through the Sakana of childbirth.
Is this what we said before about the Shabbat Hadot, that a heavy woman is worth more?
Okay, we're going to a second. All right, very good. So Rabbah Mark, Hachikani. B'chi isha l'mish yoledet mishabeches. Wait a minute. So this is just what David just asked. Wait a minute, Dick. When you talk about shvach v'ladot and you talk about d'mei v'ladot, you're talking about two different things. D'mei v'ladot are talking about the fetus itself. Shvach v'ladot is talking about the woman herself is now of a greater size. So when you think about d'mei v'ladot, the Torah gave that to the Baal. It says, right, that we said that the Torah was mezakeh, those d'mei v'ladot to the Baal, and the Baal has specific interest, and that's a zeret ha-katuv, that it goes to the Baal. But who says the same thing by shvach v'ladot? Shvach v'ladot is actually the woman herself, she's bigger, she's gained weight, and now she's of a larger expanse. That shvach v'ladot, or shvach v'ladot, why does it belong to the Baal? Why is that included in the, right, zeret ha-katuv? That's not specifically given to the Baal. Ve'im atzma b'shvach v'ladot, boom. The woman has no part of the shvach v'ladot. Shaminat v'ladot, v'notnim la'bal, v'shvach v'ladot cholkim. This is where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with. Before we said, when the Chachamim said we assessed the woman, she were assessing her for both the mei v'ladot and shvach v'ladot. And what does our mission say? They both head to the baal. So the Chachamim believe that shvach v'ladot and the mei v'ladot belong to the baal. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you're right. The mei v'ladot belong to the baal. But shvach v'ladot, that they split 50-50. Half belongs to the woman, half belongs to the husband. And that's really, I take it back, it's not necessarily 50-50, but we will, there's a division, the Gemara in Ksubos lays out how you divide it between the husband and wife. So now, Tanya Nami Och, we have a price that supports this. I'm Rishim Gamliel, v'chisha l'mishi yoledet misha bechet, v'ein l'matzma b'shvach v'ladot, and it all belongs to the husband, not for her. Elo shami nezek v'fnei atzmo, v'tzari v'fnei atzmo. If nezek tzari by themselves, v'shami v'ladot, and the v'ladot by themselves, not in the ba'al, not goes to the ba'al. V'shvach v'ladot, chokim. That they divide between them. So now you have Kashi Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, other Shimon Gamliel. Because indicative in the two brights of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a stira in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The first bright indicates Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that a woman is worth more after she's given birth than before. And the second bright, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel indicates there's something called Shvach V'ladot. Shvach V'ladot can only exist if you believe the woman is worth more before she gives birth than after she gives birth. Otherwise, there's no such thing. Shvach V'ladot. How do you have Shvach V'ladot? The woman is not worth more. Right? Until after she gives birth. So what are you talking about? Lokasha. Kan mivakeret? Kan she'ena mivakeret? That depends. Is it her first pregnancy? Or is this already her second, third, fourth, right? After the first time, her pregnancy here. Why? In the first pregnancy, that's the largest risk. Because she's never passed through childbirth before. So we have no idea if this woman can survive childbirth or not. And therefore, she's worth more after childbirth than she is worth before. After the first pregnancy, where we've seen her survive pregnancy already, or childbirth, then we know that she has the wherewithal or the ability to survive pregnancy, and therefore, there is shvach v'ladot at this point, because then the woman, the sikun, or the danger to the woman has diminished, because she has experience, and since she has experience, there will be shvach v'ladot. And that will be the difference in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In the case where this is her first child, right, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said there is no shvach v'ladot, And therefore, the only way to assess the Tamei Vladot is to assess them independently. If it's already your second, third, fourth pregnancy, then there is Shvach Vladot, but it differs from the Chachamim on another point, which is that Shvach Vladot does not belong to the husband, or the Bohel, it belongs to Split. They jointly own the Shvach Vladot, and therefore the Tamei Vladot has to be assessed independently and given to the Baal. The Shvach Vladot are split between the wife and the husband. Right now, Rabbanon Damrei Shvach Vladot Nami Labaal my time. Why do the Chachamim believe that Shvach Vladot goes to the Baal also? Because it's not, right? Because we have the Mishnah. Mamash Mishnah never ever yatsu yilada any of their shihara. Right? So when you look in the Pasuk, right, it says that she miscarried, but she miscarried in an instance where she was pregnant. Right? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if she is miscarrying, obviously, right, she is pregnant. So what do I need the both or both descriptions of this woman? Chinatu anashim v'nakfu isha hara v'yatu yilada. Right? If you didn't write isha hara and it says v'yatu yilada, you would know that she was an isha hara. So why do I have to describe to you that she is an isha hara? So that the extraneous word hara matam loma hara lomalacha shvach harayon labal. Not only v'yatu yilada belong to the baal, but even the hara. The pregnancy, which is the shvach of the pregnancy, belongs to the baal. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hi hara, my darish bay. So what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel do with this extraneous word hara? So he mi bayle the ktani, he needs it for the brayzer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, the olam, enu chay. As you can have been bit there, yo. So he hits her directly in the area of the womb. Right? Directed against where the fetus is found. So that's what it means, hara. Isha hara means that if he hits her on the leg or on the arm, that causes a miscarriage, that he's not responsible for. He's responsible for if his blow is what directly causes the miscarriage. So Amar Papa lo tema keneged beit haram mamash. El kohecha de salik bei shichma levlad. So it doesn't have to be directly at the womb, like directly where the woman is carrying, but anything that around or that surrounds the blood and that provides warmth to the blood, all that will be included in the Beit Harayon, right, or in the Ishara, a Puke Yad Varega, arm and a leg, which are so far removed from the area of the pregnancy that we don't even consider those to be hitting the pregnant woman as hitting like any normal woman in her arm or leg. Right, that's what it would seem, yes, that's right. Right, from the Rabbanan, they don't have this limud because they use hara for something else. And in Okanami, this isha hara is anywhere, any part of isha hara. Haita shivcha v'nishtachra u'giyoret patur. Amar Rabba lo shanu el shechava ba b'chaye hager u'meit hager. So this comes to Tzvi's question a little bit. Where is the husband? Or what's the status of the ger right now? So Rabba's position is that the ger must be alive and then have died after the chavala. Why? Because if not, the kaven the chava ba b'chaye hager. Since he did damage to her while the ger was still alive, zocha b'hu ger. The ger took possession or is entitled to the Dmei Vladot. He's her husband, or he's the Bo'el. They're right entitled to the Dmei Vladot. But kaven the meta ger, zocha b'hu min ager. And then when the ger dies, you're zocha in that money from the ger because it's hef ger because he has no yorshim. On the other hand, of chava b'la akamitat ger, if he was chovel in her after the ger died, meaning that she was pregnant from the ger, and then he does damage to her after the husband or the Bo'el is already passed away, Zachyallah I Bigavayu, that she is entitled to Tamei Vladot, Mechayev Lishlumei Lavadidah, right? And therefore, he'll have to pay her. Why? Because the only time we say that the Baal, or belongs to the Baal, is when the Bo'el is there. That the only time the Torah zichta the money to the Baal, is when the Baal is there, and then he's entitled to the ownership over the Vladot. Over here, where the Baal has already passed away before the Kabbalah is done, who's the first one to take possession of the Vladot? Who owns the Vladot now? It becomes the wife's Vladot. She's Koneh the Vladot. If she's Koneh the Vladot after the passing of the husband, then when the Vladot were damaged, who does the monetary compensation belong to? The woman. Now, Rabbi Chisda says, Mari Daiche, how could you be Atu Vladot? Wait, what do you mean? Vladot or some sort of stash of money, and then she's entitled to grab a hold of them or take possession of them. Let the Baal, So, well, it doesn't work that way. It's that if the Baal is there, the Torah gave him possession of the Hadot. If the Baal's not there, then there's nobody. Nobody takes possession of the Hadot, meaning that they are, quote-unquote, Hefker. They're Hefker, then the Mazik, when he damages them, he's the first one to be Patur. He's the first one to take possession of the money owed here. And therefore, he will be Patur. So, as opposed to Rav Chisda's position is that, wait, how can the woman ever make a kinyan on these Hadot? The Hadot are not the equivalent or money goods. They're not money that's sitting inside, never she's koned them after the gear died. No, the Mei Hadot is just something that the Torah entitled to the husband. That's something that they gave the value to the husband, but not
how
that they're...
How do you say that they don't belong
to? What? Because they were given to the husband. The Torah exists to the husband. If there is no husband, then there is no possessor of the Hadot. I mean, that's it. There is no one who's in the Hadot. They're independently owned. Right? They have their own ownership. Basically, right, if she hits the woman and she miscarries, so then the Isha gets the nezik and the tzar, which belongs to her, that's her body, right? And the Zvei Vladot, which we know the Torah gave to the Baal. Ain Habal notain the Yorsha. If the Baal's not there, it goes to his Yorsha. Ain Isha notain the Yorsha. Then it goes to her inheritors. Haita Shivcha v'nishtachara Ogyoret Zacha. Right, then he gets possession of the property. So what do you see over here? You see over here that the mazik gets the possession over here. So why over here do we say not that the shivcha gets it or the right the gioret gets it? How come right this person is zochet? Say I'm imri umi adifa mi matnisin. Right, our Mishnah says the exact same thing. Right, and we didn't think that was a problem. And that's exactly what we did. We said the case in our mission is a case where she was damaged when he was still alive, and then he died. And that's why we're talking about over here. Otherwise, so too in this brisa, right? It won't be a problem for Rabbah's position that the woman was entitled, or the mother is entitled to the Dmei Vladot when there is no husband over here. Why is that? That's a unique case. Why is it a unique case? Because it happened when the husband was still alive. If it happened when the husband is still alive, then it went over to his possession. If it goes over to his possession, then either his Yorshim get it, or if they're not Yorshim, then it becomes Hefker. But Rav Chisda and Rabbah's argument is really in the other case, which is the case in which there is no, what? There is no Baal presence when the Chavala happens. There's no Baal presence when the Chavala happens, then we still argue about whether it can go to the, right, the mazik, or goes to the wife, or to the woman. Vibai zema, and some that say, the achar mita takir, right, that is actually after the gear died, utni zakta. Instead of writing zakha in the, zakha would imply that the male inherits, means that the mazik inherits over here, because you have two anashim, one of them hits the woman, she miscarries. So when we say zakha, it sounds like the mazik is zakha in the property. If you say zakta, if you say tni zakta, then what does that mean? That the woman takes possession of it. Zakta, she's the first one to take possession. And that would support the position of Rabbah. Tosfos over here points out that the Gemara is not amending the brisa over here. They're not saying change the word from zakta to zakta, but rather saying interpret the word zakta to mean kolakodim zochet. And who is the first one to be zochet? Zakta, that's the woman that is the first one to be zochet. Don't read it as zakha meaning particular to a man, but zakha means kol kodem, or the first one to be zochet. So lema kid tonight. So let's say that the machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Rav Chisda's position is a machlokas tanaim. Batis Yoshin, he says the ger, he needs Abram imenu bechaval ba bechayei ger, and notain tmei vladot la ger. Right, so now, this is the case, as Rashi pointed out in the Mishnah, right, it doesn't have to be a ger and a gioret. Over here we have a ger marrying an Israeli. Right? And the ger married an Israeli, and they were chovel in her when he was still alive. Then, notain tmei vladot the ger. It goes to the ger. La'achar mitat the ger. It happens after the ger already passed away, the chavala. Right? Tani chad chayav, but tani chad patur. We have two different brightos. One bright that says chayav, and one bright that says patur. So my love, easy way to explain this machlokes. Tonight in who? Right? That is machlokes tonight, like Rabban Rav Chisda. The machlokes tanaim, whether she's entitled to the money or not entitled to money. So the brisa that says chayav goes like Rabbah, who says that the tmei vladot goes to the woman if she got the chavalah after the husband had passed away, and therefore it's chayav, that the mazik must pay the woman. Or it's like Rav Chisda, the other brisa goes like Rav Chisda, which is patur. Why is mazik not have to pay here? Because Rav Chisda believes when there is no husband, there is no tmei vladot, and therefore he takes possession of it. So Mar says, the Rabbah vadai tanahi. You're right. According to Rabbah, he has to explain this as a machlokes tanaim, because he can't explain the position of patur. So he has to face Machlokes Tanaim. El Rav Chisda Milei Matnayi. According to Rav Chisda, he doesn't have a bigger problem. Why? Because his position is the position of Patur. And he can explain the position of Chayav being Chayav for a different reason. Now it has to do with the husband passing away. What's that? Lokasha. HaRabbanon. HaRabbi Shimon Gamliel. That we're talking about Shvach Ladot. Right, there's two different issues. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what is owed to the woman is Shvach Ladot and, right, possibly, we said before, is the maid Ladot to the husband. Right, so now you have, according to Rabbanon, everything goes to the Baal. So you have maid Ladot and Shvach Ladot all go to the Baal. If there is no Baal, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to be Patur, the Gamer. Just like you're Patur from the maid Ladot, you're going to be Patur from the Shvach Ladot. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel divides up. This Dmei Vladot belongs to the Baal. Shvach Vladot belongs partly to the woman and partly to the husband. So therefore, in the case where we say Chayav, if we're talking about Shvach Vladot, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even if you believe that the woman has no entitlement to Dmei Vladot and no entitlement to her, the husband's share of the Shvach Vladot, nevertheless, she's still entitled to her possession of the Shvach Vladot. And truly, the Gemara is going to say, she's entitled to the entire Shvach Vladot. Alright, so why? So there, that's how Rabbi Chisda is going to explain it. No. Everybody agrees with me that a woman's not entitled to make ladot. What they're arguing about in this brisa is Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanan about shvach ladot to the woman. Okay, even Rav Shimon Gamliel, my aria la karmita. Wait, if it's not about Rav Shimon Gamliel, why do we have to have the ger dead? Right? Afilu michaim, nami itlay palgam. Right? So even while he's still alive, she's still entitled to half the shvach ladot. So why do you create a case where the ger being dead? You can have the ger alive. So Michaim is la palgo, akamito kule. This is what I just mentioned before. Before he dies, she's going to have 50% of the shvach ladot. After he's dead, she gets the entire shvach ladot. Why? Whoa! Why should that be? Right? Where it says, we'll see in a second. If I say mahava Rav Shimon Gamliel, kam shvach ladot, kam dvei ladot. So that's in both positions of Rav Shimon Gamliel. One is explaining dvei ladot, which you are patur, and one is shvach ladot, which you are chayav. So now Imri. Mishvach Vladot, Lishamalus Vladot. Wait, if she's able to take her husband's portion of the Shvach Vladot, why isn't he also able to take the possession of her husband's portion in the Dmei Vladot? Before we said 50% of the Shvach belongs to her, the other 50 to her Baal. Now we're saying that all the Shvach belongs to her. How is she able to get possession of her husband's part of the Shvach Vladot? Well, if she's able to do that, then she should be able to get possession of the Dmei Vladot as well. Right, so that's the Gemara is going to go along the lines of what you're suggesting here. And from Mishum Gamliel, we can also understand what the Rabbanan are saying. That was that they also believe that the Meis Vladot should go to the woman. If that's the case, then everybody that's not good for Rav Chisda because Rav Chisda believes it's not going to the woman. So Imre, look, so something like what Shaul is suggesting here. Shvach Vladot v'shaitcha yadav gavayu. So she has some sort of tzitza. In Shvach Vladot, Zakhya Belubakul, therefore she's able to take possession of the whole thing. Dmei Vladot, Lo Shaycha Yodabika, by the Xer the Katuv is that she has no rights to it at all. She's not even a party to this Dmei Vladot, Lo Zakhya Belubakul. She's unable to take any possession of it. Shvach Vladot is an issue of splitting or dividing between two parties. But since she's a party to it, at least we know she can make a kinyan on it, she has some possession in it. Once she has possession, she can take full possession. Over here by Dmei Vladot, as Shaul pointed out, that Xer the Katuv, she has no rights in it. She has no rights in it, then you can never really take possession of it. Alright, now, someone who is holding on to the shtarot of a ger, right, what is the din? So this ger has a lien on somebody's property, so he's holding on to the shtar. So it's clear to the Gemara that he cannot go and collect with the shtar. Right, that's not what the Gemara is discussing. Right, the question at hand is he entitled to keep the paper that the shtar is written on? Mandama zechik b'shtara adaita da'arahu d'machzik. And the one who's holding on to possession of a shtar, the intent is to collect, use the shtar as a shtar raya, to use it as a collection document, and therefore the only reason to hold the shtar, or the only reason he's holding the shtar is because he has in mind to collect on the karka. Uba'araha delo achzi, ushtar nami lo kono. Right, the ara doesn't belong to him now, right? Because when a ger dies, all property goes hefker. If all property goes hefker, then what? Then it's not the shibo that he had on someone else's property refers back to the owner. And the owner was now had a lien on him from this ger. The ger dies. Who's the first one to have the property? The owner, right? So the shiba disappears. The lien goes. Now, that he has nothing to do with. So he can't collect on the land. The shtar, and the paper that it's written on, he never had intent to be kuna the paper. His intent was just to get the lien on the property, and therefore he doesn't kuna the paper. Odilma. When someone takes possession of a shtar, not only does he have intent to collect on the property, but he also intends to keep the shtar itself.
What does that do for him?
Amalei, ani mori, answer me, Rebbe. Bechila tura pitzvah chito. Who's arich? What are you going to do with a shtar? A defunct shtar? What's the point of having a defunct shtar? She says, oh, it can be a bottle cap. It's good to stuff into the top of a perfume bottle, to plug the top of a perfume bottle. She says, what do you mean? That's what he needs the shtar for? What are we arguing? What are we trying to figure out? What he needs it for? So he says, Amalei, let's do it. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. He needs some bottle stoppers. So that's what he needs. The question here is this a good bottle? Did he acquire the bottle stopper or not? Alright, Amarabo. Mashkono Yisrael biyad ger. If a mashkon of another Yisrael is with the ger, umeta ger, uba Yisrael acher v'yekzikpo, motino tomi yado. Right, then another Yisrael comes and takes possession of it. We take it away from him. We take it back from him. My time up. Gave it to mitle ger, pakale shibude. Because the whole reason that the ger is holding on to the mashkon is because this Yisrael owes him money. As soon as the ger dies, Yisrael no longer owes him money because everything is hefker. He keeps his money. So now the mashkon should revert back to the original owner because the only reason the mashkon is there is to ensure that the loan's paid. Now that the loan is considered fully paid, it doesn't exist, then the mashkon should return to him. And then if another Yisrael comes and takes possession of it, he doesn't have rights to it. Mashkono shel ger biyad Yisrael. What happens if the mashkon of a ger is in possession of Yisrael? And now the ger dies. And another Yisrael comes and takes possession of it. So that what's going to happen here is that the first Yisrael gets right up to the value of his loan in the mashkon because that is entitled. So he had a claim against the ger's possession, and therefore he has a lien to get his loan paid out. So he'll get the value of the mashkon up to the value of his loan, and that he'll get repaid. Anything beyond the value of his loan in the mashkon will belong to the first one who took kinyan over it. So that's the third party who came here and made a kinyan in it. It's sitting in his possession. What are you talking about? If it's in his chaser, it's a chaser. You don't need to be a dach for your chaser. Your courtyard, your house is kona for you, even though you don't know what was going on. As soon as the gear dies, your courtyard takes possession for you. So Imri Yalkut by Eskin and Delete. That he's not around. I'm going to read this like Rashi now. Rashi says Delete means that the person, the owner of this chaser is not around. Why? Kohecha de ita the diday, right? When he's around, di by maknei matikani, that if he wants to take possession of himself personally, he has the ability to do it. Kanilei nami chaser. Then his chaser can also take possession for him. So the only way a chaser makes a kinyan shalom yidato is when you are there and you could have made the kinyan yourself. Then your chaser can act on your behalf. On the other hand, kohecha the late day the diday, if you're not around to make a kinyan, di by who the maknei lo matikani, you could have made a kinyan on it. Why? Because you're not present. Then, chaser nami lo kanyan. The chaser doesn't have the ability to act without you being there, without you being present. Your chaser cannot act on your behalf. Now the Gemara says, "Mehilchasot." The law is the leis of chaser lo kana. Right now, what is the leis of chaser? Look at Rashi says here, leis of chaser is the mashkon. Not that the baal is not here, but that if he's not in the chaser, the mashkon is not in chaser lo kana. He's not koneh. But if it's not in the possession of the malveh, then he's not koneh. But if the mashkon was in his chaser, he'd be koneh, even though.
You know, but I get it. If the gear is thrown into the chaser of a woman,
right? She's koneh. No, that's not true. It's only if it's a chaser mishtamer. So that's what's going to be the differentiation.
You don't have to mishtamer by her.
Right. Okay. So that's if you look in Tosfos, brings up this Rashi. First quotes Rashi. He opens up the letter of a chaser. Right. He brings up this Rashi. Says perish of kuntris amoshkum kai. Right, so now he has to say, what is the case here when Rashi spent time at a mashkon in the conclusion? What about this whole problem with the Gemara introduced before that he has to be present or doesn't have to be present? So that's what the Tosafot says, that we have to be talking about in the conclusion a chaser hamishtameret. Has to be a chaser that is guarded by itself. So that it's irrelevant whether he is there or he is not there. Because chaser hamishtameret that is guarded even not by him has the ability to be koneh. When do we say he has to be present to be koneh or not be present? That's only in a chaser sheino mishtameret. So that's what the base. So based on this, Rashi reads the Gemara as being inconsistent, which is that the first part of the Gemara is talking about a chaser sheino mishtameret, and therefore the halacha has to be that he's present or not present. And then the conclusion of the Gemara is talking about a mashkon. It changes to a mashkon. Say, I forget about that. No, we're not talking about a chaser mishtameret. And therefore, if the mashkon is present, he keeps it. If it's not present, he doesn't keep it.
Why don't you tell me that? Halacha, it's obvious. The mashkon is not in the chaser. Why would you say the chaser is koneh?
Right. So that's it. But you have to sit.
It's a silly thing.
It comes to teach you the other side of it, that if it is there, he is going in. Yeah, that's the idea. Right. If it's there,
yeah, but the delay seems that they're
not going to. But if it's there, it's going to.
No, I'm saying that, you know, that the case is that the broader question was, I have to be that this other guy could acquire any chelik in that mashko than the guy who was in possession of it acquired it first. So the conclusion is, no, it wasn't in his chatzer. So he didn't automatically acquire it through, you know, but did it being in his chatzer.
Now, the rereads is very different. The rereads is consistent throughout. And we're always talking about here a chaser she'ena mishtameret, and therefore what the Gemara says over here is that he has to be there in order for it to work. If he's not there, it does not work. And the Gemara's conclusion, he hopes that the less of a kaseru lo kana, right, is talking about him, not the mashko. And that's what the read says. And when it says hopes, that means that this differentiation that we made between him being there and not being there, that is a good differentiation, and that is aloha. If he's present, it will work, his chaser will work for him. If he's not present, it will not work for him, because we're talking about a chaser she'ena mishtameret. If it was Mr. Merritt. Yes, but that the Gemara is consistent throughout. That's what the read says. Should we try? All right, we'll stop here. I think we're not going to get through it. It's a difficult subject, so we're not going to get through it.